Fizdaf is Pei Gimel. We're going to start at the top of Pei Gimel Lamed Aleph, just to review what we were up to. We started back at the Mishnah about a machloket. Right after the Mishnah, we had the whole question about how do we know that a Pesach, that the Pesach can only come from Chulin, and from there we learned to all other obligatory offerings can only come from Chulin, meaning that you can't use Maser Sheni. You can't buy the animal from Maser Sheni money. The whole question was, where do we learn Pesach from? So Rabbi Lezer said, we learn it from Pesach Mitzrayim, because Pesach Mitzrayim couldn't come from Maser Sheni, because there was no Maser Sheni, to which Rabbi Akiva said, but that's Efshar Mishi Efshar, you can't learn that. So then Rabbi Akiva, and then we had to kind of, he said, oh no, I don't really learn it from there, I learn it from the Hekesh and the Pasuk, or not exactly a Hekesh, but Avadete et Avodah Zot B'Chodesh Hazeh, meaning every year you do it should be like the first year, which means, again, for what halacha? So he claims it means for the halacha that it can't be bought from Maser Sheni. Rabbi Akiva now, we want to find out what's his drasha, where does he learn Pesach from, since he doesn't agree with Rabbi Eliezer. So for that, we've started with this drasha, okay, which started at about 10 lines from the bottom of the previous daf, about Shmuel said, in the name of Rabbi Eliezer. Okay, first we're starting with Rabbi Eliezer, then we're going to get to Rabbi Akiva. We're going to see that Rabbi Eliezer darshins this pasuk in a particular way. Rabbi Akiva darshins some of the things like Rabbi Eliezer, and that's why he doesn't comment on them. But some of the words he darshins in a different way, and that's how he's going to get to, that we're going to actually learn it out from the Chatat. Okay, so Zotarat, the pasuk is Zotarat la'olah u'lemincha u'lechatat u'le'asham u'lemiluim u'lezevach ha'shlamim. The whole question was, what do you need this pasuk for? So I'm quickly going to go through without the back and forth in between each section, but according to Rabbi Eliezer, Ola teaches us that it's tunakli, of kol tunakli, which we said was it needs a knife. The second thing was the mincha. What do we learn from the mincha? That the mincha is only eaten for zichrei kuhuna. Okay, only zichrei kuhuna can eat it, therefore also all other offerings, to which we said, but all the other offerings, it also says it, to which they kind of came up with one pasuk that maybe wasn't so clear, although maybe there was some other drasha we learned it from, but there's a machloka tana'im about that, about which pasuk we actually learned it from. And now we're going to get to chatat. So we're on line number 6 on Pei Gimel Lamed Aleph. Chatat, machatat mekadsha bebalua, af kol mekadsha bebalua. Just like by chatat, it says, kol asher yigabiv sara yikdash. Okay, anything that touches it becomes sanctified also. So therefore, we're going to say all other sacrifices also mekadsha bebalua. Okay, so if a kodshim comes in contact with something else and kind of through touching it, the taste gets absorbed into it, that other item will also be considered kodesh. So, okay, I wanted to add something here about it. One second.
Are there different levels of kedusha in that case? Because something touched it.
So like Rashi says, for example, yochal kechomer shava liyom v'layla kechatat. For example, if it was came in contact with chatat meat, then you'd have to eat it within the time frame that you can eat the korban chatat. Okay, you would have that day and that night to eat it.
It
takes on the status. Right, the status. There was something about the other direction that was interesting, that if there was a whole issue that maybe if you, one second, I have to remember it. But apparently it comes up in other places also. One second.
Seems like a one-way street.
Right. No, there was an issue also that if, let's say, right, here's another ramification that I remember seeing. If your chatat, let's say, comes in contact with another piece of chatat, and then you eat a kezayit of your chatat combined with the other meat, so is that considered, like let's say you're not a Kohen and you're not allowed to eat it, would that be considered eating a whole kazayit? Because now it came in contact with it and it basically took on the status. That's like another issue that would come up. Okay, which is the other direction, kind of, that it, the other direction, but
how,
right. That
how far does the level of Kedusha?
Exactly. Okay, Asham. What are we going to learn from the word Asham? Ma Asham ein shvir v'shiliyah kadosh bo, af kol ein shvir v'shiliyah kadosh bo. What does this mean? An asham can only be brought from a male animal. So obviously in a male animal, there is no fetal sac or placenta. So therefore, there's no fetal sac or placenta that can become sanctified by the animal itself. So since by Asham that's the case, af kol, therefore all other korbanot, even if they're brought from a female, ein shfir u'shiliyah kadosh bo. Now what does that mean, the ein shfir u'shiliyah kadosh bo? So they're going to tell you here, kasavar, what he means to say is, what he holds is, vladot kodshim, Havayatan hen kadoshim. When do they become sanctified? We learned already the other day about this, that the offspring of an animal has sanctity. But now, right, let's say you designate the animal while it's pregnant. So therefore, as a korban, the fetal, you know, the offspring has sanctity. At what point does that sanctity kick in? Does it kick in immediately? Is it that it has sanctity, and therefore, if you were to slaughter the animal, now we're going to see there's a machloket about what the ramifications are, that if you were to slaughter the animal, then and then inside you would take out the fetus, that would be kodshim also, if you would say that. Or is the issue that the fats, no, well, that's the machloket. Okay, this maybe I'm not being clear yet. The machloket is, do we wait till it's born, and it doesn't have sanctity while it's inside? Or do we say, no, even once it's inside, it has sanctity? So now, what would be the ramifications if you'd say inside it has sanctity? So one opinion is saying that the question is, zikotchim or chulin, right? Which would affect who can eat it or what the status is. The other option is that, no, it even if you say that it's only when it's born, it becomes, that's what basically Rabbi Lezer is saying, right? Because if ein shvir v'shiliyah kadosh bo in the Asham, av kol ein shvir v'shiliyah kadosh bo. And therefore, kasavar v'lado kochim b'havayatanim toshim, they're only sanctified when they're born. So does that mean it's chulin legamre? Some people say, no. It can't possibly be chulin legamre. Really, it can't be fully chulin. What does it mean? It means that we don't burn the chelev and the klayot on the mizbeach of the shiliyah, of the shvir, right, of the fetus. In other words, that it's not that it still has some sort of kedusha to it, but it doesn't have the kedusha of the animal that you would sanctify, that you would burn the parts that are supposed to be burnt on the mizbech. So in any case, what do you see here? This is Rabbi Eliezer
like
Lishitato.
Touched. It's like the same.
It's a little different, right?
It's
I guess it's, right. Right. It's about how much kedusha does it have to it, right? And then there's machloket about what would it mean. It's, you know, that they're only of kedusha when it's born. Does that mean there's no kedusha, they're legamre chulin, or does it just mean you don't burn the fats and the parts that are supposed to be burnt? And you'd have to say, since he's learning this all from the Asham, and the Asham is a case of a male which doesn't have a fetal sac or a placenta, danim efshar mishi'i efshar. Again, this is Rabbi Lezer Lishitato that we just saw yesterday, that you can learn a case where it's impossible, right? You can learn a case where it's possible from a case where it's impossible. Miluim. Okay, we're still continuing along Rabbi Eliezer. Man miluim motrehem b'srefa ve'em ba'alei chayim motrehem b'srefa. What does this mean? In the miluim, if there was meat left over, it says explicitly in the pasuk, okay, there by the miluim, that if there was meat left over, meaning notar, right, whatever kol asher yivater, right, whatever was left over, had to be burned in the morning. Okay, so anything notar was burnt. But if you had animals that were left over, what does that mean to have an animal left over? You sat, this we've talked about recently, you kind of set aside extra animals just in case you'd need them, and you didn't end up needing them. They're still alive, as opposed to the meat we were talking about a minute ago. But the animals are still alive. So those animals that are still alive are not bisrefa, don't get burned. Af kol, therefore, all sacrifices, motrehem bisrefa, ve'em ba'alei chayim, motrehem bisrefa. Okay, we learn from there to all other animals, all other sacrifices, that if there's food left over, we burn it. If there's a live animal left over, we don't burn the animal. Some people say, what do you mean? We already learned out, like Asham, we learned out a drasha that it's to be ro'eh, and a chatat that it's lamut and all that. But maybe what they're trying to say is, even the dafka and the chatat, where it's meta, but we don't burn it. Right? That there is no burning, and that's what they're trying to say. We don't, you know, you might have thought, since we have to burn whatever meat is left over, maybe we'd have to burn whatever animal is left over. So the halacha is that we don't do that.
But this isn't
thankfully.
Me. This isn't me. This is a live animal.
Right.
You have to do another slaughter.
Again, but no, with a live animal, what do we mean? That's, we already learned that once you designate a live animal for an asham, you can't just redeem it, right? You have to let it graze till it gets a moon, then you can sell it, and then you can, you know, use the money to buy something else. And with the chatat, we actually say in a number of cases, that was the whole thing we saw a few days ago, that you have to leave it to die. Right? That it's once it's sanctified and you're not going to use it now, so it's really, there's no purpose anymore to it. It's difficult, right? Because we leave it outside, but at least we don't burn it.
So at least we don't burn anything alive, which
right.
would really be.
Which would really be unpleasant. No, it could be you wouldn't burn it alive, but once it died, in other words, that's what they're saying, the chidush is. Once the chatat is meta, you might have thought, well, this is kedusha that was, you know, kind of left over, and just like the meat that was left over, you have to burn. Maybe once the animal dies, it needs to be burned. Yeah. And it's telling you, you don't. Nobody thought you were burning the animal alive.
Well, okay, for a moment, but I'm glad.
Maybe for a moment. Okay. Shlamim. So what do we learn from shlamim? Mashlamim mifaglim umitpaglim. Avkol mifaglim umitpaglim. Okay, a few different interpretations of what this means. Just like a shlamim can become pigul, can mifaglim cause, you can cause it to become pigul, or it can become pigul. So the main interpretation is, what does that mean? One is mifaglim, it can cause the nisachim to be pigul also. If you have nisachim, you set aside for this korban shlamim, and then while you were shechting the shlamim, you said, I'm going to sprinkle the blood or eat the animal in the wrong, kutzlizmano, right, in the wrong time. Then, what do we say? It becomes pigul, and the nisachim, the libations that you set aside, also become pigul. Okay? So just like pigul is like that, af kol mifaglim umitpaglim. All sacrifices also can also cause the nisachim, the libations that go along with it, to become pigul. Okay, that was all Rabbi Eliezer. But another braita is taught in the name of Rabbi Akiva. And remember, the whole reason we were getting here was because of Rabbi Akiva. Zot haTorah, okay, the whole pasuk. Okay, so he starts off with Mincha, just like Rabbi Lezer. Rabbi Lezer started off with Ola. He doesn't start with Ola because he obviously agrees with him about Ola. Anything he's not going to mention, we can assume he agrees with Rabbi Eliezer that Ola, we learn, Sakin, right, the knife. It has to be done with a kli. You have to shaft with a knife. Mincha. So Mincha, Rabbi Eliezer had said, it teaches us about Enen Echela El Zechrei Kuna, which we said was somewhat problematic because we already kind of learned that from other places. So Rabbi Kiva obviously thought that that was learned from somewhere else. So he teaches something else. Ma Mincha Mekadeshe Bebalua, Af Kol Mekadeshe Bebalua. He learns, what we learned from the Chatat, he learns it from the Mincha. Okay, that by a mincha is mekadesha bebalua, so therefore all other things is mekadesha bebalua. And he doesn't learn that from the chatat, and that's because he's going to need the chatat to teach us about our case. Okay, so obviously by both the mincha and the chatat, it said about anything coming in contact, right? There it says, kol asher yiga behem yikdash. Okay, anything right there, and by the chatat it said, kol asher yiga b'vsara, and here it says, kol asher yiga behem yikdash. Okay, so therefore he learns from the mincha is the one where we're going to learn about mekadesh bebalua, that anything that comes in contact and absorbs from it is going to have the same status. Now, according to him, we're going to say, so why did we need, right, why did we need a pasuk by chatat to say that? If we could learn, we could have learned it from mincha. Ve'itzrich lemichta b'chatat, ve'itzrich lemichta b'mincha. Right, we needed a pasuk in each. Why? What might we have thought if it only had it by the mincha? Mishum derechicha bala, because a mincha is soft, right? It's a dough kind of thing. It's softer. Therefore, you would have thought it's more absorbent. Aval chatat emalo, but the chatat you might have said is not so absorbent because it's meat, right? It's not as soft. V'ikata rachmanam chatat. Mishum de basar agav de shamein kadir. You might have thought since meat is fatty, so it absorbs more. Ava mincha emalo. But by the mincha, you might not have said the same thing because, you know, again, one is saying it's soft and therefore it absorbs more, and the other is saying it's fatty, and the fatty causes it, the fattiness causes it to absorb more. So you might have thought emalo, and therefore it's sricha. Okay, you need it by both. Okay, so now what are we learning from chatat? Chatat. By the way, this shows that it's the shamein, right? We're talking about the piece of meat that's near it is fatty and it's going to absorb from the other, which shows that, right, according to, I'm trying to think if it's soft. I guess they're both trying to talk about the item that it's coming in contact with that it would absorb from the other. Okay, now maybe there's something unique there. Okay. Chatat. Ma chatat eina ba ela min achulin. Ah, here we have it. Chatat only comes from chulin and not from maser sheni. Again, we're going to have to say, well, where do we get this? Okay. Uviyom uviyadoa yimanit. Okay. And the other thing we're going to learn from it, that it's only during the day, and you have to do it with your right hand. From here, af kol eino ba ela min achulin ubayom ubiyado hayimanit. Okay, so here we get it that the Pesach is learned out from the Chatat, right? That it's only ba min achulin. This is strange because then you wouldn't really need to learn it from Pesach. You could learn it from the Chatat for everything else, and not really. You wouldn't need to have learned it all from Pesach. Okay. Just one second. Right. So then. So now, right, this was all to say, how do we know about Pesach, that it's only Ba Min Achulin? So now we get it from Chatat. So now we're going to have a question, Bichlal. So the first question is going to be, how do we know, right, B'chatat Gufa Minal, and how do we know the Chatat's only Ba Min Achulin and not from Maser Sheni? Amar Chista D'Amar Kra, V'ikriv Aharon et Par HaChatat Asher Lo. Right, Yom HaKippurim, it says, he brings the Par HaChatat Asher Lo. What does Asher Lo mean? Lo mishalo, velo mishal maser. It belongs to him entirely, and it's not maser, right? The maser doesn't belong to him, right? The maser is what belongs to the individuals who bring it from their produce, right? In theory, the Kohen Gadol will never have maser sheni, so he doesn't have land. So there you have it. Can come from maser, from the chatat. Okay, biyom. Where do we learn biyom by chatat? Mi biyom tzavoto. Okay, this is. In Vayikra Zion Lamidchet, it says, Asher tziva Hashem et Moshe b'har Sinai, b'yom tzavotot b'nei Yisrael l'akrivei korbanehem l'Hashem b'midbar Sinai. So there you get b'yom. So now, the question here is, this is a question, sorry, this isn't where you get it from. This is saying, you don't need to learn b'yom from Chatat, because b'yom already says it in this very general pasuk about all the korbanot. B'yom tzavotot Moshe. So don't we learn it from there? We don't necessarily learn it from the Chatat. So what do they say? K'dei naspa. Oh, they just added this. In other words, it says it also by Chatat, so we're going to just add it to the list, even though, right, where do we get it from Chatat? Ki b'yom hazeh yichaper alechem. Okay? So even though we don't really need the b'yom of Yom HaKippurim, which is about a Chatat, to teach us to everything else, but since they had... You know, it's because you learn it from this Bayom in the end of that section of the Korbanot, Vayikra Zayin, which we saw the other day, right? That's where this pasuk comes from. This is the pasuk right before it. The one about Zot HaTorah, Le'ola, Le'mincha, Le'chata, where it talks about all the Korbanot. And then it says Bayom. We already learned it out from there, but since this also is mentioned uniquely by Chatat, so they just kind of add it to the list, but it doesn't really, you don't really learn it from there. Same thing they're going to do with B'yadoa Yemanit. Yadoa Yemanit, me de Rabba Barbara Brachana Nafka. We already learned this, okay? We learned this all together. To Amar Rabba Barbara Brachana Marish Lakish. Ko makom shenemar etzba vikuna in Oeli Yamin. And therefore, remember we learned it to all the Korbanot where it says etzba, it says Yamin. There we say, it's all Yamin. And therefore, you don't need it to learn it out from Chatat. So what did they answer again? Kidei Nasba. They just kind of listed it because also by Chatat it says Yadoa Yemanit, and therefore. They're going to say it, but really, the main thing we're learning from Chatat is this issue about the Maser Sheni, which was the whole reason why we got here in the first place, and that's because they get it from Hikriv Aron and Parah Chatat Asher Lo. So we finally got our answer to Rabbi Akiva. But we're not done because Rabbi Akiva is still disagreeing with Rabbi Lezer about how we darshan this whole long pasuk. So Asham. Now we learned something different about Asham. Okay, if you remember, Asham, we said, Ein Shvir V'Shiliach Kadosh Bo, which obviously Rabbi Akiva can't darshan because that would be a case of Efshar, Misha'i Efshar, and he doesn't hold that we can learn Efshar, Misha'i Efshar. So he would say, Asham, Ma Asham Atzmotav Mutarin, Avkol Atzmotav Mutarin. Right? By Asham, the bones, we're allowed to use the bones. And because of that, okay, where do we learn that from Asham? So it says, Asham Hu. So they say, what does it mean, Asham Hu? Its meat is Asham, but not its bones. Okay? And therefore, the bones... you're allowed to use to, okay, one of the examples given, we saw this before, I think in Zvachim it came up, that you can use it to fashion like a handle for a knife, the bones of the Asham. Okay, they're basically chulin. They're not kadosh at all. Okay, so just like Asham atzmotav mutarin, af kol atzmotav mutarin. So now the question is, or not the question, but the Mefreshim talk about, what does it come to teach you really? It's coming to teach you in the Korban Ola, we learned this already in Zvachim, Korban Ola, if you remember, there was a whole thing about the Ola gets entirely burned, but yet they say the Atzmotavar Mutarim, and that's part of the Chiddush here, that even in a Korban Ola, Atzmotavar Mutarim. What does it mean, the Atzmotavar Mutarim, if you burn them? You burn the whole thing, including the bones. And what it means is if the bones fall off the Mizbeach, do you remember this? If they fall off the Mizbeach, then you don't have to put them back on, you can actually use them. Okay, they don't have sanctity, which is really interesting because they were designated to be burned, but yet they were only burned, by the way, this is bones without marrow. They don't have anything in them, basically. They're dry, you know, they're, what?
Dry bones.
Right, dry bones, or bones with no meat in them at all. Since they have no meat in them, therefore, we're going to say they're mutarim. For Rabbi Akiva, okay, so now we're done. But we're not fully done, because what does Rabbi Akiva do with Hai v'zavach tapesach? My avidle, okay. Remember, they said v'zavachta pesach according to Rabbi Eliezer. That was to teach you the Pesach Dorot, right? Pesach Mitzrayim is like Pesach Dorot, and from there we'd say that you can learn this whole thing about the Maaser Sheni. Since there was no Maaser Sheni there, there's no Maaser Sheni here. So what is he going to do with v'zavachta pesach? My avidle, what does he do with it? L'chidur Rav Nachman, da'am Rav Nachman, amar Rav Ravua, minayin lemotar pesach shekarev shlamim. How do we know that what's a motar pesach? It's animals you designated for the Korban Pesach, but didn't end up using them. What do we do with those animals? Right? It's not like an asham that we have to leave it out to graze, and it's not like the chatat that we say it has to die, but what do we do with it? It's karev shlamim. Okay? The assumption is that when you designate animals for Korban Pesach, your basic default is that they're going to be shlamim. We've learned this before, okay, and we'll get to a few different ramifications about this. Shneamar, what does it say? V'zavachta pesach l'Hashem Elokecha tzonu bakar. Remember that whole thing was, it says tzonu bakar. V'alo ein pesach ba, ela min hakvasim u'min ha'izim. Right? It's not coming from tzonu bakar, it's coming just from tzon, not bakar. So how could it say v'zavachta pesach l'Hashem Elokecha tzonu bakar? Right? Remember Rabbi Lezer said that was to teach us that that we're going to compare the tzon ubakar of the other sacrifices to the Pesach. Remember there were a few things we had. We had number one, Rabbi Lezer learned it out from Pesach. Right? So it is like I said before, which is once he learns it from Chatat, he doesn't need to learn it from Pesach. Right? In other words, we have two tracks. Either you say you learn it all out from Pesach, and then the question is, how did you learn it out from Pesach? And that was what Belezer finally concluded, which was, it's going to be exactly like Pesach Mitzrayim, Pesach Dorot is going to be like Pesach Mitzrayim. From there, we then say, and then it says, V'zavachta Pesach al-Hashem Elokecha, Tzon u'Bakar. Why does it say Bakar? To teach you, all other sacrifices are like Pesach. How are they like Pesach? That they can only come from Chulin. According to Rabbi Akiva, you don't need that pasuk because you don't need to learn it from Pesach at all. You learn it now from Chatat to all the Korbanot. And that was from the Chatat, right? We learned the Chatat because it said, V'yikriv Aron par Chatat asher lo. So we learn everything with Chatat. So what is this pasuk then coming to teach you? V'zavachta pesach l'Hashem Elokecha tzonu bakar. So what do they teach you? Ela motar pesach yehei l'davar haba min atzonu min bakar. It means to teach you that a pesach could become like something which is sacrificed from tzonu bakar. What's sacrificed from tzonu bakar? Korban shlamim. A korban shlamim can become from both tzonu bakar. So when it says v'zavachta pesach l'Hashem Elokecha tzonu bakar, it means you can sacrifice a korban pesach sometimes, meaning something you designated Pesach, but you didn't use it for a Pesach, you can sacrifice as a shlamim, which comes from tzon and bakar. That's how he reads the pasuk. V'ha me'acha nafka. What do you mean? You learn out that Motar Pesach is l'shlamim from there? Mitavuat Shmuel nafka. We learn it out from a different pasuk. We're actually, in fact, going to see that we learn it from three pasukim, okay? We now have this pasuk that Rabbi Akiva learns it from. We have a second pasuk of Avuat Shmuel. Dichtiv. Ve'im menatzon korbano l'zevach shlamim. I don't know if you remember this, but it says the shlamim could come from the tzon. And then it says, right, it says ve'im menatzon. And then it says ve'im menaez. Ve'im, right, it says, right, because then it says ve'im menatzon. It already said im zevach shlamim korbano. Okay, so it didn't need to say ve'im menatzon korbano l'zevach shlamim. When it says ve'im menatzon, it could have just said ve'im menatzon korbano. It didn't need to say im menatzon korbano l'zevach shlamim, because it already said, we're talking about shlamim. It already, you know, after it gives the general category of shlamim, it says an im menatzon korbano, and then it says ve'im menabakar. Okay, so im menatzon korbano, it could have just said im menatzon korbano. It didn't need to say l'zevach shlamim. So what does he say? Amar Avuah d'Shmuel, davar haba menatzon yehei l'zevach shlamim. Teaches you what's haba menatzon, what's the korban, the sacrifice that generally comes from the tzon, Pesach. So im menatzon lezevach shlamim, those extra words lezevach shlamim come to teach you that even though we're talking here about korban shlamim, right? It's teaching you there could be something that's menatzon like the Pesach, which could be sacrificed as a shlamim. Okay, and that's motar Pesach. And they're going to continually ask va'akate me'hacha nafka me'hatam nafka. You're going to learn it from there? In other words, first they ask, Rabbi Akiva, how can you learn it from the Zavachta Pesach L'Hashem Elokecha Tzon Ubakar, that that's coming to teach you the Motar Pesach Kaminha and become Shlamim? Don't we learn it from Im Natzon Korbanot L'Zavach Shlamim? And now they're going to say, and we even have a different Pasuk, V'ha Tanya, should be Kesef. Kesef, okay, this is then after it says V'im Natzon, it says V'im Kesef Korbanot, and then it says V'im Ez. So why does it have to say Im Kesef? Lerabot et haPesach le'alya. Okay, what does it teach you? That a korban Pesach, which comes from the kvasim, okay, kesef they say is synonymous with kvasim, it's to include, to teach you that sometimes you have a Pesach, there's something about a Pesach that you do like a keves in the shlamim, where the unique halacha about a keves in the korban shlamim is that the tail is burned. So also, the tail of the Pesach is burned. Kishehu omer im kesev lavi pesach shavrash nato. Kishehu omer im kesev. Okay, and then it says, it's not just say kesev, it says v'im kesev. Okay, so now when it says im kesev, what does that come to teach you? The im? Lavi pesach shavrash nato. Ushlamim abaim achma pesach lechom mitzvot shlamim shiitanu smicha unisachim utnufat chazev v'shav. Okay, so now what are they saying? When it says im kesef, what does that include? That if you have a Pesach that avrash nato, what happens? You designate something for the Pesach, but it becomes in its second year. Remember, it can only be brought in its first year, and it becomes in its second year before you bring the korban Pesach, so you can no longer use it for Pesach. That would be a case of motar Pesach. And in addition, okay, so that's already our proof. That's going to already teach you that a Pesach Shavrash Nato, okay, I'll skip the next few words right now, Lechol Mitzvah Shlamim, right? It's going to have all the mitzvahs of a Shlamim upon it, which is, it needs smicha, you have to bring it with Nisachim, right? The Korban Pesach doesn't come with Nisachim. And you do it with Nisachim, and you do Tnufav Chazev Shok, okay? You have to wave the parts that go to the Kohen. Okay, so what does that teach you already? That Motar Pesach is Karev Shlamim. What's the part in the middle? There's a second case it includes, which is Shlamim Haba'im Machma Pesach. What's that? Do you remember this? Sometimes you have to bring what we call Shlamei Chagiga. If you remember, everybody goes in a group with an animal that they're sacrificing for the Korban Pesach. If your group is too large and there's not enough meat to go around, everybody, if you remember, has to eat it, not just a kezayit, but they have to eat it a la sova. They have to be satiated. So if they're not going to be satiated from the animal of the Korban Pesach, you have to bring other Korbanot Shlamim to kind of, you know, have more meat. The halacha here is that all those Korbanot Shlamim, you might have thought they'd be like Pesach. No. They have all the dinim of a regular Korban Shlamim upon them. That's what this pasuk Im Kesev is coming to teach you, that there's two times where Kvasim could be like Shlamim. Okay? And that's a Pesach that becomes a Shlamim, and the Shlamim that you bring with the Pesach. Okay, now ve'im ez, they just continue to darshan that pasuk. Why does it then say ve'im ez? Hifsik ha'inyan, okay? Ve'im ez comes to say, oh, we're now having a break. Something that was true before is not going to be true for the ez, right? What was true for the kesef is not going to be true for the ez. Limed ala ez she'ena tu'na alya. Okay, from here we say the ez doesn't need, its tail doesn't get burned. If you bring a shlemim from an ez, it doesn't get burned. Okay, anyway, we're back to our main issue because we got a little sidetracked. Tlata kraiktiv. We now have three psukim that teach the same halacha. We don't need three psukim to teach us that a motar pesach is shlemim. So now they're going to say anu. It does, in fact, because there's three different cases of a motar pesach or a pesach that could be karev shlemim. Okay? Chad la'avraz mano ve'avrashnato. One is the time for pesach passed, meaning you designated a korban pesach, but you didn't need it. The time passed, and avrashnato. And it's already too old. V'chad la'avraz mano v'lo avrashnato. One is to teach you in a case where past Pesach, but it's still within a year, it's still within the first year. Also, it would be karev as a shlamim. V'chad l'lo avraz mano v'lo avrashnato. And the third is a case where you designated it before Pesach, you sacrificed it as a shlamim before Pesach. Okay, and the halacha is that this isn't a korban, you might have thought that what? It's korban Pesach that's pasul, because it was designated for Pesach and you didn't use it for Pesach. But what do we learn? If you do, we've learned this many times in Zvachim, if you do a Pesach, shelo bizmano, lo bizman Pesach, shelo lishma, right? L'shem, not only if you do it l'shem shlamim, if you do it l'shem any korban, you say this is l'shem ola, this is l'shem, no matter what, we assume it's a shlamim. We view it as a korban shlamim. It has a din of a shlamim because, again, what did we say? The default of a Pesach is a shlamim. Okay? So when you separate it, it's as if you're saying it's a shlamim that's going to be used on Pesach, but if it's not used on Pesach, it's going to be a shlamim, and therefore it's good, and it's a good shlamim. Okay? And obviously, law of Rosh Nato in this case, right? And it's still within its first year. Utsriche, why do you need separate Pesach for each three? Avrazmano ve'avrashnato. If you would have said just the first case, avrazmano ve'avrashnato, mishum de'itchele legamre. That is entirely pasuk. It's in the wrong time, right? It's past Pesach, and it can't even be brought as a Pesach anymore because it's too old. So then you might have thought that is entirely itche. Of course, it's going to be a shlamim. But you might have thought avrazmano ve'lo avrashnato dechaze lePesach sheni. Emalo, you might have thought, but if it's still within its first year, just because Pesach passed, maybe we could still bring this as a Pesach Sheni, and therefore it can't be a Korban Shlamim. Comes the second pasuk to teach you, it can be a Korban Shlamim. V'iyash mi'inan avraz mana v'lo avrash nato d'itchele mi'Pesach Rishon. At least that case has been d'itchet from Pesach Rishon. Avalo avraz mano v'lo avrash nato, if it's before Pesach, hasn't passed the time of Pesach, and it hasn't passed, right? It's first year. It's really ra'oy le'Pesach, and the Pesach hasn't come and kind of, you know, it missed its chance. Da'filu le'Pesach rishon nami chaze, eimalo. You might have thought maybe you wouldn't count this as a shlamim, and maybe if you did it shelo lishma, we'd say it's pasul. It's entirely disqualified because it was really ra'oy to be Pesach. Tzrichei. And therefore, you need the third pasuk to tell you even this is considered a korban shlamim. Okay? So, Hadron Alacha Torah Itaba, we're now moving on to the ninth parak. Kol Korbanot HaTzibur V'HaYachid. Now we're going to compare some things about where we bring. We're going to get into a lot about where the produce is brought from, where the items are brought from for the sacrifices. There's an interesting question here. Kol HaKorbanot, do they mean, right, when you hear Kol HaKorbanot, what do you assume it means? Minch, Menachot, and animal sacrifices. Okay, but Rashi says kol korbanot haynu menachot. We're in Masechet Menachot. We're only talking about menachot. Okay, Tosot says no. This is actually across the board. Okay, he says this means also animals. Obviously, depending on right, certain these things are not relevant to animals, but the ones that are, he would claim are relevant to animals. So kol korbanot atzibor vayachid. Okay, both communal and individual. Ba'im min ha'aretz u'michutz la'aretz. Okay? You can bring the produce from the land, from chutz la'aretz, doesn't matter. Min ha'chadash u'min ha'yashan. They can be brought from the old crop and the new crop. Now, this is obviously, okay, well, actually, this is one of the proof texts of Rashi, right? Chadash and yashan are talking about grains. But Tosfot says, no, actually, there's also old animals and new animals. There's also such a thing, and therefore, He also claims that it relates to the animals. Chutz min ha'omer v'shtei alechem. Except for the obvious, although we'll see, maybe it's not so obvious. The omer and shtei alechem, she'inam ba'in ela min ha'chadash u'min ha'aretz. Okay, where do we get that from? The omer says, ki tavo el ha'aretz, so we assume it has to come from the produce of ha'aretz. Shtei alechem says, mi moshvotechem taviu. Remember, we darshan that could have come from the sky, right? What if the chitim came raining down from the heavens? Right? Would that be viewed as moshvotechem or not? Not moshvotechem. How do we know it has to come from the chadash? So the omer says, reishit kitzirchem. And the shtei alechem says, mincha chadasha, right, the new, or bikurei ma'asecha, both of them implying new. Okay? Plus, their whole thing is that they're each matir the new. Remember, the omer matir is the new product for people to eat, the new wheat for people to eat. And the shtei alechem matir is the new crop for going on the mizbech, right? Before Shavuot, you're not allowed to bring anything from the new crop on the mizbech. Vikulan einan ba'im ela mina muvchar. You have to pick the best, okay? You can't just take bad stuff. You have to always find the nicer stuff, okay? There's actually a machloka between where we get this from. The Tosefta says, kol mivchar nidrechem. In Dvarim Yudbet, it says, v'chol mivchar nidrechem, meaning has to be taken from the muvchar. Okay, and so Sefta is the Tanaitic source. You would think that would be the source. But the Rambam actually has a different source. He says it comes from a pasuk in Malachi. Okay? He claims that the pasuk, Kol Mivchar Nidrechem, is coming to exclude some type of mum that you might have thought was okay, and he's trying to say it's not. And he thinks that there's some pasuk in Malachi which proves this issue that has to come from the Muvchar. Okay, which would be a big difference. Do we learn it from a pasuk in the Torah, or do we learn it from a pasuk in the Nevi'im? Okay. Ve'ezehu muvchar shalahem. Where would you find the muvchar? Okay, this is more like descriptive, like, okay, where am I going to find this? Which obviously isn't for the long term because this is just in those days, I guess. Okay, now here there's a whole, you can see there's a little bet, there's a little gimel, there's a little hey. There's different nuscha'ot about what word actually appears here. Okay, if you look, let's say, in the Masorah Ashas and hey, it says, Girsa da'aruch be'erech michmas. Uznuta, okay? R says, machnis vizatcha, okay? And they're saying, these are places, but nobody really knew which places they were. And there's all different nuscha'ot about what exactly the name of the place. Michmas is a place we know, okay? Machnis is not a place that we know. Okay, if you look, for example, I think there's other nuscha'ot.
Michmas, not michmas.
Michmas.
Oh, yeah.
But this says machnis. Machnis, okay? So some say michmas vizinyucha. Is there another one even? Let me just look in the... I don't know where that gimel goes. Is it? Machmis vizincha. Okay? There's all different variations. Clearly, they weren't sure what place this was. Most of them say it's like a place in Michmas or Machnis is a place in Yehuda, and Zitcha is a place in Binyamin, okay, which show that they're close to the Mikdash area. Both of them are alpha la solet. Okay, those have the best solet. Shnia lahen, secondary to them, is aforayim bibik'ah, which they say, why do they call it aforayim bibik'ah? Because it was obviously an aforayim bahar. So there's aforayim, and you know, lots of times you have two places with the same name. Again, it's not so clear where this place is. There's a machloket among the Rishonim about whether, or I'm not sure the Rishonim are Achronim, about whether... You have, if you remember, the Omer and this is talking about all the Menachot, or maybe even all the Korbanot, if you say like Tosfot, have to come from the best. And then the question is, if you remember, the Omer and the Shtei Alechem, they said have to come from close by, because they have to be moist when they come, right? Not dried out. So the question is, what if the closer ones are not Muvchar? So what if, you know, does Muvchar out, you know, what's the word? Is Muvchar more important than close by, or is close by more important than Muvchar? Right? So what if the close by isn't Muvchar? So then, which one comes first when it comes to the Omer and the Shtei Alechem? So there's debate about that. Kol ha'aretzot hayu ksherot. Really, you can bring it from anywhere. Ela mikana yumivim. But that's where they were, that's why I said this is descriptive. It's describing in the time of the Mishnah, right, in the time when it was still Beit HaMikdash, that's where they would bring it from. Matnitin de loki haitana. Now we're going to say our Mishnah, which says that the Shtei Alechem and the Omer have to come, right? Einan va'im ela min ha'chadash u'min ha'aretz, sounds like it's ma'akev, right? Now they're going to say it's not like the following Tana. D'tanya, Omer haba min hayashan kasher. Shtei alechem haba min hayashan kasherot. Okay, here you have it. Even though, ideally, right, if you bring it from, right, sounds fascinating, right? Whoever thought to bring the Omer from the Yashan, right? All along, it's Matir, the Chadash. Wouldn't you think you'd have to bring it from the Chadash? And the Shtei Alechem also. According to this Tana, it's Kasher if you didn't do it. Ela Shechiser Mitzvah Omer. Okay, but you miss, like, the main part of the Mitzvah, but it's still Kasher. Okay, it's not disqualified. Dichtiv Takriv Et Min Ka Bikurecha. Okay, in order to understand this Drasha, you have to read the whole Pasuk. The Pasuk says, Ve'im takriv mincha bikurim la'Hashem, aviv kaloi ba'esh geres karmel, takriv et mincha bikurecha. So what does it say, right? Im takriv mincha bikurim, right? Then it says, you're supposed to bring it, aviv kaloi ba'esh geres karmel, takriv mincha bikurecha. Notice what word is unnecessary. Takriv is mentioned both in the beginning and at the end. So the second takriv seems unnecessary. So what does it say? Takriv means bring it in any way, va'filu min ha'aliyah, even from your storage house in the roof, right, or in the upper level, from last year's produce. Shtei alechem, how do we learn the shtei alechem? Dichtiv mi moshvotechem taviu, velo min chutz al aretz, mi moshvotechem v'afilu min ha'aliyah. It says, bring it from your land, and not from chutz la'aretz, from your land, and even from what you have stored up. So now they say, v'ha'afikte, but what do you mean? You're darshening two things from the same word. How could you do that? So what do they answer? Amakra taviu vafilu mina aliyah. Now this moshvotechem comes to teach you not from chutz laaretz. Taviu comes to see, bring it in any case, even if it's not the new crop. So now they say, wait a minute. The word taviu hai mibayale shekola tamivi mimakom acher harehu kazeh. Okay, what's this halacha? This is, if you remember, the shtei alechem is chameitz, and it comes to teach you anything that's like the shtei alechem that's chameitz, which is the lachmei todah, the chametz lachmei todah, right? Those are the only things that a bracha makes on the, in the Beit HaMikdash. So anything that's like this will be like this. What halacha do we learn? Just like the shtei alechem is an isaron per lechem, likewise, the chametz lachmaniot, right? The 10 lechamim that are chametz are each an isaron. That's how we learned that. 10 of the esronim go to the chametz, and then we had, in parallel, we have the 10 that go to the matzah, which get divided up by the 30 loaves. So don't we need the word, right? We need, taviu means anything you're going to bring is going to be like this. So what are the answer? In kain lichtav kra tavi, my taviu shmamina tarte. Could have just said, mimoshvotechem tavi, taviu comes to include, we can learn both things. Number one, anything you bring is like this. And number two, bring it in any way, even if it's going to be from the yashan. So then they say, obviously, v'haktiv reshit. Doesn't it say reshit tzirchem? Isn't that obvious? So the answer, l'mitzvah, right? That's just ideally. V'haktiv chadasha, right? What about chadasha? Mincha chadasha? Say, no, chadasha, hai mibay le'lechi d'tanya. We need chadasha for some other drasha. Rabbi Natan v'Rabbi Kiv amru, shtei alechem habot min hayashan kshirot, uma ani makayem chadasha. So right, if the shtei alechem come from the yashan and they're kshirot, what do I learn from chadasha? Shetehe chadasha lekol ha-menachot. Okay, so that that it should be the first one, right? That you can't bring anything from the chadash until you bring the shtei alechem. Okay, that it's the first one. Okay, so now we're going to end here for today. It sounds like the machloka between our Mishnah and this Tana is only about the issue of chadash and yashan, right? But not about, can it be brought from aretz and chutz laaretz. Tomorrow we're going to see, right? They're going to say, Akan lo pligi ela b'chadash, aba ba'aretz lo pligi. Yomar shtei alechem, right? Me'a aretz im, michutz laaretz lo. And then they're going to say, well, that's all only according to a particular, right? That there's a third Tana who disagrees on that issue.